Chapter 26. Arvida never saw the demons, though he sensed their presence. By the time the Lance of Heaven was invaded, his mind was bent on the warp. His mortal eyes were closed, his mortal body prone, his mind turned in on itself, and thence to the ether beyond. He had expected the passage to trigger the flesh change, to force the mutating horror to rise up and transform him for good, but the truth was the opposite. As soon as they entered the rift's mouth, the pressure at his temples dissipated, the roar in his ears gutted out, and the pain in his joints eased. It took a moment for him to realize the truth. The place they had entered was shielded from the greater mass of the seethe. Vast walls of psychic matter held the tides back, enclosing the entire fleet in a barrier of swimming sorcery. They were hurtling along titanic tunnels, bored down into the foundations of the ether, burrowing like the tracks of insects under the very feet of creation. Freed from the need to fight the flesh degradation, Arvida's mind roved ahead, outpacing the fastest of the ships as they raced. He saw branches upon branches, breaking into a web of staggering complexity. The more he roved, the more colossal it became, a galaxy-spanning network of channels and thoroughfares, each one linked and switchbacked and threaded under and tangled with 100 others. No human mind could have conceived of such a thing, far less built it. There was no Astronomicon in that place, just an endless, dizzying labyrinth of tunnels winding through the dark, each suffused with sorcery greater and older than he had ever encountered. Even on Prospero, at the height of its glory. He remembered Yashugai's final words.
They will need a guide.
The navigators could not follow this path. They had been trained to perceive the Emperor's light amid the eddies of the true warp. Arvida exerted himself, projecting his mind's strength out ahead of the fleet. He scanned the web of passageways, divining which led most truly towards their goal. And lit the way himself, projecting a beacon that every psychically attuned individual could follow. They responded. One by one, the ships of the fleet latched onto the signal. By then, they were all traveling at speeds beyond thought, exceeding by orders of magnitude anything experienced by normal human starships, carried along by the elemental forces that raged and burned in the hidden ways. Arvida traced the route ahead unconsciously at first, letting his future sense guide them. The lattice spread out, vast and shimmering, a tangle of gold flung across the face of eternity. Against all reason, he found himself wishing he could linger, to study it, to trace its thousands of ways and discover all its secrets. Amid the blur of velocity, he caught sight of wonders buried yet deeper down. Vast gulfs that plummeted into utter velvety darkness, mighty chambers that glimmered like starlit geodes, clusters of red-tinged clouds burning from within, great glittering stalagmites ringed around the ebon globes of chained suns. They went in deeper. He felt the faint presence of minds pressing against his, as alien as any minds he had ever sensed. They were bitter, those minds, like long-deposed kings bereft of their armies, watching intruders rampage across lands they had once been able to defend. He felt mordant anger, but also empty impotence. They were ghosts, mere afterglows of elder powers, lingering like curls of smoke over embers. He focused his powers. Freed of the terror of the flesh change, he was empowered to move high in the enumerations, practicing the scrying methods taught to him in Tizca. The visions came tumbling in on him, fast, on top of one another in a disordered jumble. He scried 1,000 worlds spinning into the void, all laid waste, or besieged, or burning in war. He saw the numberless tides of demonkind clustered at the threshold of reality, poised to leap beyond the gap, and saw with dreadful clarity what they would do once unleashed. Then Arvida remembered what he had seen on Dark Glass. He remembered that planet of sorcerers, and the Dark Tower, and the shuffling lines of robed magicians. He remembered the fractured god, his lone eye, all that remained true of the creature he had once been. He could take them there, if the place were real, For a moment, his mind crept tentatively in that direction, seeking for a sign that the lattice extended that far.
They will need a guide.
Even there, amid the foundations of the infinite, there was temptation to resist. He collected himself, gathering all his strength, molding the fractured facets of 1,000 potential futures into a single whole. The great maze had been constructed by minds for whom Terra was an unknown backwater, a mere mark on star charts. Even now, there would be no straight ways, no easy paths back into the world of the living. Arvida extended his future sense, travelling further and further down the maze of possibility. As he homed in on the place where the vortex led, he saw for the first time the tumult arrayed about their destination. The link Yashugai had forged at Catullus had lacked an answering voice, and so every path to the heart of Terra was blocked, crammed with armies of the Empyrean boiling up out of the profoundest pits of the abyss. The tunnels were aflame, blocking the light of the greater throne, and some secret war raged unchecked amid the vaults of hell. But he could take them, most of the way. There were portals of the labyrinth that flared out into real space before the margins of the solar system, yet still ahead of the Warmaster's advance. They were distant still, but the incredible speeds only grew, accelerating the entire time, making the void ships stretch and shake. If he could maintain the beacon, if he could find the path, they would yet achieve it. Dimly, he could sense the stink of demon. In the world of the senses, they were fighting towards him, screaming to claw at his soul. But he could not let his concentration drop, could make no move to defend himself. For if he faltered, they all faltered. The walls of sorcery rushed past, glowing, racing. He heard voices raised in anger and pain. He felt the hard deck beneath and saw the Empyrean soaring above, majestic and terrible. "Hold on," he breathed, "just a little longer. Hold on." The demons burst through the falling Gellerfield, jaws wide and claws outstretched, bringing with them the frenzied chorus of damned souls. The Stormseers responded, hurling the Tempest back at them. The first creatures of the ether were ripped asunder, their warp-wound flesh exploding in shivers of unleashed energy. But more came in their wake, shrieking and laughing. Jagatai took up position by Arvida, as did Jubal and the Keshig, fortifying an island before the throne. Further out across the bridge's expanse, the warriors of the Ordu opened fire, sending massed volleys of bolter shells punching through the tides of demonic flesh. The creatures of the Empyrean howled, dropping to the decks and scampering into range, eyes flashing. Dozens spilled into being, then hundreds, swarming through the metal of the hull, pushing up from the deck, plunging from the vaults. They strutted on switchbacked legs and snapped with crab-clawed arms, brandishing flails and scourges with dazzling finesse. Every move they made was sheathed in a shimmering curtain of false color, a whirl of unlight that defied mortal eyes, and they grinned from split flesh mouths. Bolters hurt them, but only the weapons of eternity, blades, fists, spears, ended them. The white scars met them in close combat, making use of all their speed, all their power. Tulwa met flail in a riot of thrusts and parries, and soon the upper levels of the bridge were locked in a crush of close-quarters struggle. Demons ripped into the chests of mortals, lifting them clear of the deck and hurling them down into the pits below. The sons of Jagatai fought back with equal savagery, cutting the glimmering flesh from the Neverborn as they capered and spun. The Stormseers strode into the heart of the fighting, summoning more destruction, crying out Korchin words of power. Lightning forked down, crackling with psychic force, and where it struck the demons, they burst into consuming flame. The storm wind accelerated, tearing across nav stations and cogitator banks, sweeping the damned and the cursed from their hooves and sending them flailing. But more kept coming, ever greater in stature, more steeped in malice. Remnants of the cacophony lingered on in their sinuous skins, flecks of purple armor, clinging like scales to the supple flesh of the Neverborn. Those hybrids opened their throats, and ear-bursting sonic horror flooded the bridge space, shattering eardrums and bursting eyeballs. They extended their twisted arms, fused with the residue of the old guns, and loosed tsunamis of raw noise that cut up decking and pulverized columns. No mortal could stand against that. The ship's crew were slain in droves, their carapace armor and helm scant protection against the overwhelming force of the demon host. But still, they held their ground, buoyed by the presence of the legionaries among them. The Legion's warriors, assembled from those taken from the Swordstorm and the Lance of Heaven's own complement, tore back into the enemy, racing to hold the strategic points. They moved in a whirl of steel, driving their bodies as hard as they had ever been driven, striving to keep up with the preternatural movements of their foes. The hard light bursts of the Zadian Aga wreathed them, slewing from their bodies as they fought, blinding the horrors and making them scream. The least of the demons was greater than any legionary, but the Ordu fought together, parrying, slicing, rushing the creatures wherever they landed and striking them down. As the armies clashed, their arena became deafening, a holocaust of unfettered noise and projected nightmares. Chagatai was at the thick of the combat, for the denizens of the Empyrean latched onto Arvida and knew that it was he who guided the entire fleet. Like hornets, they streaked towards the sorcerer, flooding the air with killer harmonics from splayed wide jaws, desperate to reach him with a barbed scourge or poisoned spear tip. The Stormseer, Naranbata, countered those attacks, generating a hemispheric kinner shield across the kneeling Arvida. Its shell blazed with a pure fire every time it was struck, showering cascades of refracted warp light with every impact. Jubal led the Keshik out into the heart of the assault, and the Terminator-armored bodyguard cut their way through ranks of racing demonkind, wielding their heavy glaives two-handed. Despite their massive battleplate, they matched the warp spawn for speed, weathering the horrific barrage of sound and then striking out with neon-wreathed blades. Every soul was engaged, every mind focused, every weapon hand occupied, and still they came. The air became ferociously hot, shaking from the discharge of plasma bolts and warp magics, and the blood boiled where it fell. Right at the epicenter, Jagatai wielded his blade, injecting every stroke with fearful poise. He lashed out, catching a screaming horror in the throat, severing its horned head from its ophidian neck, then swung around and thrust the blade tip into the entrails of its swooping counterpart. He shivered the blade, and the demon blew apart, its severed elements spiraling across the crammed press of fighting souls. None could withstand the Primarch. He towered above the Neverborn, reaping a path through the Horde, carving a way for his Keshik to follow. Step by step, meter by ichor-stained meter, they drove the demon vanguard back from Arvida. The storm lightning snapped and lanced, skewering more even as they materialized, shredding their essence and sending it howling back into the seethe.
Hai, Chogoris!
Came the battle roar, loosed from every legionary's throat across the bridge, and for a moment their fury outmatched the screams of the ether. But then the ship buckled, falling sharply. Its last faint residue of Geller coverage imploded, showering the bridge with a deluge of broken silver. A new and enormous shape coalesced before the command throne, twisting into solidity like smoke running in reverse, blooming into lurid purple smog, and then filling out into a hulking spectre of humanity's darkest dreams. No trace remained of Koninos's armor. Four pale arms thrust out from a writhing torso, two of them terminating in long, crab-like claws, the other two in taloned, human-like hands. Its tapered skull, crowned with blood-red horns, was pierced and riven with ritual scars, animated by eyes with no whites. When its mouth gaped, a long violet tongue whipped out from between close-packed fangs. Its every move was achingly alluring, at once repellent and intoxicating, blurred with clouds of pungent incense. The demon was immense, crashing to the deck and making the stones crack under its hooves. Thrice the height of the Primarch, it was an avatar of corruption hurled into the world of the senses. Storm lightning snapped across it, burning away in ribbons of steam as it recoiled from the unholy flesh.
"Hail, son of Anathema!" it said,
and its voice contained every foul and beautiful thing within it. The howl of an infant's terror, the cry of mortal ecstasy, the gasp of pain under the torturer's knife.
"You are far from home."
The Khan looked up, taking in the full splendor and degradation, all encompassed in the pale flesh, the shimmer of gauze, the scent of desire and abhorrence.
"Bar my way, Yaksha," he said,
keeping his sacred blade in guard.
"And I shall end you."
The demon laughed, and the sound was like glass being scraped across bone.
"Attempted, and your flayed soul shall sweeten the passage of eternity."
Then the demon moved, sweeping its sword down. The Khan swung his blade to parry, and the clash rang out like mountain ice breaking. Then the Primarch was moving again, spinning to intercept the scything claws. His tulwar shuddered on impact, shearing a slice of demonic chitin from the inner curve, before he thrust upwards again to lash across the grasping talons. Beyond the greater demon, the battle raged unabated. Storm magic rose up against warp devilry in a welter of psychic detonations, punctuated by the physical combat of blade thrust and bolter volley. Jubal and his retinue took on the greatest of those who had followed Manusha Rakshasi, and the Terminator Guard wrestled with psychosonic hybrids of Talon and fused Vox Augmitter. The Master of the Hunt roared out the name of his Primarch with every one he cast back into the Underverse. Namahi stayed at his side, swinging a Guandao in a glittering corona. None matched the perfection of the Khan in combat. Set against the mightiest denizen of the ether, matched against the most powerful of all the god's sendings to the mortal plane, the Primarch rose to a level of controlled fury that passed into the sublime. His sword flew, whirling faster than the plane's wind across driven grass. Every demonic attack was thrown back and matched with a counter of his own. The two blades clashed again and again, lost in a tornado of strike and parry, thrust and evade. Manusha Rakshasi screamed, drenching the Khan in a molecule-shaking torrent of sound, but he powered through it. Its rune-burned longsword snarled across his guard, its claws reached out, scraping across his gold and pearl armor, and he cast them back. All the while the tulwar hacked, cutting deep into ether-knitted sinews, making the demon roar.
"You cared much for your storm witch, I think," said Manusha Rakshasi,
pulling away from the Khan's furious assault.
"Do you wish me to show you his agony?"
The Primarch only pressed the attack further, driving his limbs ever harder, wielding the blade so fast now that it felt like reality would split around it. Flames kindled about both combatants, bursting into life as the weapons spun. The Khan could sense its limitation now. It had thrown everything at him, and still he lived. His warriors lived and fought and roared their defiance. The creature fed on fear, but there was nothing to feed on aboard the Lance of Heaven.
"Soul engines were not meant for your kind," taunted Manusha Rakshasi,
summoning a fresh charge that nearly sent the Khan staggering.
"They are beyond you, just as we are beyond you."
The Khan shoved his energy-flaming sword tip clean through Manusha Rakshasi's torso, ripping it out the far side before the demon's claws raked down across his breastplate, nearly tearing it from the flesh. Blood now joined the circles of fire, mortal red and demon violet.
"You should never have dared this."
The demon screamed again, hurling the Khan back a pace and dissolving the ground beneath his feet. It followed up a brutal lunge with a clenched claw, catching him under the chin and forcing him back further.
"This This is our realm!
The Khan struck back instantly, slamming the demon's sword aside and going for the creature's midriff. The blade thrust true, ripping another wound in the creature's flank. Where the ichor shot through the blade's disruptor trails, it ignited, dousing both of them in rippling blood fire.
They are all our realms. You are a plague on them, a contagion to be excised.
The creature's talons raked around, and the Khan bludgeoned them away. He dragged his blade across the demon's leading thigh, and muscle parted with a slick shiver. Then he swept back across the demon's ribcage, slicing into the bone claw.
And excised you will be!
Manusha Rakshasi kicked out with its hoof, cracking it into the Khan's side and shattering armor plate. The Primarch went skidding, hurled out of position. The demon screamed its contempt again and hammered the flaming sword down. The killing edge seared through the tortured air, fizzing with serpentine magics. The Khan angled his blade to parry, and the two swords crashed together. A massive clang resounded. There was a blaze of light, and the Khan's tulwar shattered. The demon hurled a bone claw around, crunching the Primarch aside and sending him clattering into the empty command throne. That exposed Arvida, still locked deep within his future sense, unwitting, alone. The Khan sprang back to his feet and raced to close the gap. Manusha Rakshasi lurched towards the sorcerer, claws stretched, the lust of destruction in its narrowing eyes. The Primarch, weaponless now, leapt for the demon's throat. Manusha Rakshasi reacted too late. The Khan grasped its neck, seizing the lilac flesh and using his momentum to drive the creature from Arvida. He pushed his gauntlets together, driving them deep into the creature's taut skin. Caught by the ferocity of the lunge, Manusha Rakshasi was thrown off balance, crashing onto its back, and the Khan smashed down atop it, hands still clamped around its throat. The demon arched its back, trying to throw the Primarch, but the Khan, drawing on every sliver of Jenhan's strength, pushed down harder, snapping warp-spun bones and crushing multiple twisted windpipes. Manusha Rakshasi choked and lashed out harder. Its sword sliced across the Khan's back, severing armor plates and lifting them loose. Its talons scraped across his side, puncturing muscle where his battle plate had been ripped clear. The vast creature twisted like a snake, trying to throw its tormentor off. But the Khan only pressed harder, driving his fingers into the demon's throat and tearing up the sinews.
There is nowhere left to hide,
the Khan hissed, throttling the dregs of life out of the flailing demon.
We know you now. We shall hunt you in every plane of reality. We shall cleanse the void. Then we shall cleanse the warp.
Manusha Rakshasi spat its defiance, but the spittle was laced with ichor now, and its eyes had clouded. A shudder rippled through its ravaged frame, and the talons went limp.
So, look on me now, Yaksha, said the Khan, and know your slayer.
The demon dragged up a final strangled breath, gazing up at Jagatai with both loathing and horror. Then the Primarch released his grip and seized the demon's own sword from its slackening grip. Taking its flaming hilt in both hands, he twisted round, pulled it back, then plunged it into Manusha Rakshasi's chest. The demon screamed, impaled on the burning blade. The Khan hauled the sword back out, then thrust his gauntlet deep into the gaping wound.
For the Emperor!
He cried, ripping the demon's heart from between its ribs and brandishing it high above his head. Ichor as thick and dark as oil ran down his arm, steaming as it came. Across the bridge, the White Scars heard their master's cry of triumph, as did the demons, and all saw the Keeper of Secrets' still thudding heart held aloft. Every warrior rose up then, fighting still, their blades plunging and their fists clenched hard.
For the Khan!
They roared. Then the Primarch cast the demonic heart aside and took up the shards of his tulwar, still lashing with power, and strode back into the fray. His keshig fell in around him, laying waste to all that stood before them. The Stormseers renewed their assault, tearing the elements asunder and hurling them into the oncoming ranks of Neverborn. Bolters roared, battle cries were unleashed, and the hordes of the Underverse screamed in hatred and desperation. Amid it all, the sorcerer, Arvida, knelt, untouched, unharmed, driving them onwards. Beyond the confines of the hull, the universe thundered past, ever faster, ever further.
Fight on! Roared the Khan.
The demons screamed. The white scars met them, defiant and unbending.
Fight on!